Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
I've got 24, so turn with me there. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. And that verse goes on to say so that we won't be caught up in the schemes of the enemy, won't be caught up in the schemes of the devil. And this is why we're to not be quarrelsome and not be resentful and to act with kindness and gentleness towards the people around us. So first you want to set the scene a little. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to Timothy. Timothy is a church leader who he's left in the city of Ephesus while he goes on to plant more churches. He's left Timothy there. And these are not just words that you know, Paul's deciding, this is a good thing for you to do. Be kind, be gentle, you know, treat people in this way. He's telling Timothy this because Timothy's facing a lot of opposition. He's facing a lot of challenges in the city where he's in. So he's a church leader, but he's in a context where the Greek people who are in the city of Ephesus, culturally Greek, they don't want anything to do with Christianity. Christianity is strange to them. So he's facing opposition from the culture with their ideals and their morals, but he's also facing opposition from within his church community. Because inside his church community, you've got people who've got different ideas that just aren't true. There's some people who are trying to say, you can't eat this and you can't eat that. Other people saying, well, you shouldn't get married. You know, that's a bad way to spend your life. And there's a lot of people who are greedy as well. They're trying to use the church and trying to use the church community for personal gain, for personal profit. They're trying to trick people, lead people astray. And so Timothy has got a lot of opposition. He's got a lot of truth that he needs to speak. He's got a lot of things he has to correct. And here Paul is saying, be kind, be gentle, don't get resentful, and you as the Lord's servant must be able to teach. Do this in the hope that the Lord, that God, will lead those people into repentance, will lead those people into change, so that they will understand what is true and what is right. So that's a bit of the context. It's a person who's facing opposition all the time. These are not just nice words or things to think about, but this is really going to affect his everyday as he applies it. Paul's concern in all this is that Timothy knows how to properly deal with challenges and arguments. You know, not to deal one time, fly off the handle and get really angry, another time do it really well. No, consistently deal with people in a calm, but also in a gentle and in a way that leads people to the truth. In a way that's beneficial to the gospel, because he's representing Jesus. In a way that's beneficial to the community, so we don't have divisions and splits. But also in a way that's beneficial to him, so that he doesn't fall into anger and resentment and bitterness as well. That's what Paul's heart is. He's trying to encourage Timothy in this. Now, if we look at those words, just on that screen there, Mark, what sort of person does this sound like? So back one. Yeah. What sort of person does this sound like? Someone who's not quarrelsome, you know, doesn't get into arguments. Someone who's kind to everyone. Someone who's able to teach. Someone who's not resentful, and gently instructing opponents. You know, when someone disagrees with them, they're just patient and calm and gentle with them. To me, that sounds like a person who's humble, a person who's full of grace. It also sounds like someone who's set aside their own agenda. They're not in it for themselves. They're in it for a different purpose, for a higher purpose. And I think it also seems like it's someone who's full of the Holy Spirit, who's full of the fruit of the Spirit. So if we look at Galatians 5, many of you will be familiar, but this is just a lovely list of some of the things that the Spirit gives us as the Spirit works within us. Love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, same word, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Can you see how Paul's encouraging Timothy to be gentle, to be kind? I'd say he's encouraging him to love his opponents, his enemies, which we see in a lot of the New Testament, and so that he doesn't fall into being conceited, provoking, or envying those around him, so that he looks after his own soul. Because you see, Timothy's right. He's got this opposition from the Greek traditions. He's got this opposition from false teachers within the church. But he's got the truth. So everything within him just wants to say, this is how it is, this is how it has to be. You need to believe. He's going to try and convince the people of the truth, which is the best thing for them. But that's not the right approach. That's not the approach that Paul is telling him to do. He said, no, gently instruct people. Gently lead them towards God. Be motivated not by any ego, not by you being right at all, but be motivated by what's best for the kingdom, what's going to be best for the community. And that's to let God work, to let God soften hearts and let God lead people into repentance. He needs to be motivated by seeking kingdom fruit and really humble in his response to opposition, humble in his response to challenges, humble in response to personal attacks. And this isn't normal. I don't know how it goes for you, but it definitely wasn't normal in first century Ephesus. In a Greek culture, I had to look this up, but in Greek culture, humility was not a virtue. It was not something people wanted to be. They did not want to be humble because it was seen as a weakness. In fact, the word meant something like crushed or debased. It was associated with failure and associated with shame. So when you showed humility, when you showed this gentleness and this kindness, you were looked down on. And so everything around Timothy's in his culture is telling him, don't treat people this way. No, be confident, be firm, and tell them how it is and how it has to be. And Paul's encouraging him to act differently. I think we can be motivated not only out of a desire to see other people. I think selfishness is something that we really have to wrestle with here. Because when I'm arguing with someone, when I'm caught up in a quarrel, I want to be right. You know? Anyone else? Anyone else with me? You know, and sometimes I forget what I'm arguing about because that doesn't matter. The topic doesn't matter. I just want to be right. And I did some training a few years ago, and this training looked at four key motivators that naturally, without Jesus, but naturally we want to look good, we want to be right, we want to feel good, and we want to be in control. And so, some of you have probably seen these. If we go to the next slide, thanks. Four motivations. This is what guides us when we don't have Jesus in our life. Can you relate to one of those? Yeah. I know. Right at the top for me is being right and being in control. Those two. I need to be right, need to be in control. That makes me feel good. And I think that makes me look good. So really by doing those two, I get all of them. But for other people, it might be feeling good. You know, what makes me feel good now? That's what I want to be motivated by. And so for Timothy, he might feel really good when he gets to put one of the false teachers in their place and say, that is absolutely wrong. This is what Jesus taught. You know, go sit down. Might make him feel good because it's puffed him up and his ego's got a bit of a hit. But that's not being humble. We're called to speak the truth in love. As I reflect on my life, whenever I face opposition, I'll share a story. I think of an argument that I have with my wife, and I'll do something trivial. We often watch movies, and sometimes we'll go, oh, isn't that actress in this other movie? And she'll go, no, they're not in this other movie. And so we've got a disagreement, right? The stage is set. And now, if I know I'm right, the first thing I do is I pull out my phone and I go to Google. I need to prove that I'm right. That's the first thing that needs to happen. And that's what I try and do. I need to be right and be in control. But sometimes it turns out that I'm wrong. what happens then is I sort of have to start backpedaling. I sort of have to start making an excuse, or maybe I start telling her about other movies that this person's been in, or the plot line to those movies, trying to just package and talk more to make it seem like I know more than I actually know. Because I got that wrong, but actually I know quite a lot. So what I'm doing is I'm trying to make myself feel better, I'm trying to look better, and these are the natural motivations that come up within me. It does turn out I'm wrong fairly often. I'll just add there too. So if I were to apply Paul's principle to that scenario of me not knowing the actress in a movie, their name, or if they appeared in another movie, getting that wrong, rather than going defensive and letting my ego get involved, it might look something like this. You know, I do think that actress is in another movie, but I'm not sure. Let's find this out together, because the goal then is then the truth, to actually find out what movie the actress is in, and we're going to get there together. The goal is not pitting myself against Amy. That's not how we've set this up. And so in the same way, Paul is telling Timothy, don't pit yourself against your opposition. Seek the truth together. Lovingly come alongside and gently lead the people to the truth. And let the Holy Spirit, let God soften their hearts. Let him guide them and let him bring them to repentance. I'm also reminded of someone I know who does this really, really well. He's not a Christian, but he was a boss that I used to have, and he had over 20 years' experience doing what we did, and I was a new graduate. I had less than 6 months, and we wouldn't disagree, but I would bring him a problem, and I would be on the wrong track, and he would coach me, he would encourage me, he would gently course correct me to think in a slightly different way in order to get a better outcome. And what he was doing is rather than just bluntly shutting it down and saying, Brian, you've got it wrong, this is what you should be doing, this is how you should be thinking, he was looking past that and saying, well, let's grow Brian, let's encourage him, and let's build him up in a direction. And that was, it was formational for me. And this was from a non-Christian person, but it really sat with me. Someone who showed gentleness and patience and kindness towards me as he was correcting and guiding me. And I only realized how much of a blessing that he was to me when he moved back to the UK. I go, I lost Andy as a boss. And the person who came in to replace him was another great guy, but he didn't have that quality. And straight away, the relationship, the barrier, it just became harder to work, and I wasn't as effective either. And so that's just a personal story, but I think this is really valuable, this approach to dealing with opposition, to dealing with conflict, and to dealing with people as we point them towards the truth. So as we sort of summarize and look back over, I think this is what Paul's asking of Timothy when he says we're to gently instruct, when he says we're to show kindness, when he says we're not to make it about us, but to make it about God. He's asking Timothy to be motivated by partnering with what God's doing. Now, God's at work, so you just come along as a worker and help point the person in the right direction. Don't be concerned with your own interests. Don't get caught up in any arguments you could, but just work with the people God has given you and exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the kindness, the gentleness, the self-control. Mark, can we flick back to that original verse, please, from 2 Timothy 2:24? We'll just leave that up there for a moment. And I want this to really be applicable to you. So I'll just share some of the things that came out of it for me. But the Holy Spirit might be saying something to you that's different to me, and that's perfectly okay. But as I read that, as I meditated on this and just sought God, some things came out. Firstly, in our humility, as we adopt this approach and posture, we can lead others to the truth. We get to be part of helping people turn their lives around, repent, and find Jesus. That's amazing. We get to be a part of that. In our humility can be a tool to help others. Our kindness and our gentleness, I think in my experience, and I think you'll agree with me, but it brings down barriers. It no longer pits us against them, but it's now we're doing this together. So with a kind and gentle spirit to approach a challenge or to approach conflict, it just diffuses so much and allows us to move forward, allows us to seek the thing that's important, which is the truth. Having this posture of humility can also be really freeing. You know, being in control is really high up on my motivators. But you'll notice in the verse there it says, in the hope that God will grant them repentance. It's not me who's trying to grant them repentance. It's not me who's dragging them along to the repentance line. But it's me encouraging, leading them to the point where God does the work. So it's really freeing. It's not a burden we have to take on. And finally, as I've sort of talked about us exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the kindness, the patience, the gentleness towards others. But I want to put myself in the shoes of being someone who's wrong and say, well, if I have a humble posture and I need correction, that's also really helpful. That's also really beneficial. Because if someone comes towards me and says, Brian, I see your heart, but you're going the wrong way. If I have a humble posture, if I'm kind, if I'm gentle, it's much easier for me to be corrected. I'm much more open to what the Spirit's going to do. And so if you're on the side of correcting and guiding, or if you're on the side of receiving correction and guiding, this posture of humility is really beneficial. And it's something that we see modeled in Jesus. There's that famous Philippians passage. He is our model of humility. He humbled himself to becoming a man, but also humbled himself to death on a cross. I just want to end, if we could flick forward, please, Mark, to Ephesians 4. There we go. So Timothy was a church leader in Ephesus in the first century. That context is a little bit removed from us 2,000 years later, and we're doing other jobs. We might be raising a family. We might be working as an accountant. We might be a student studying. Our contexts are a little bit different. But Timothy had a job. His job was to establish leaders in the church in Ephesus and encourage and equip and build them up. And you have a God-given purpose and role where you're placed. And God gives us gifts to help us do that. And so Ephesians 4, Christ gave himself the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is about maturity. When we're immature is when we become really reactionary, where we become divisive, where our egos get the better of us. But as the Holy Spirit works within us and softens us, we show more of the fruit of the Spirit and we become more Christ-like. It's a sign of maturity. Verse 14, on the next slide. Thanks, Mark. Then we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves here and there by every wind of teaching and cunning and the craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. It's like what Timothy was facing in Ephesus, where false teachers were leading people astray because they hadn't yet gained their maturity. Verse 15, this is where I wanted to get to. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. So, disagreeing with someone is not wrong, but how we go about it is what's important. We want to be confident in our convictions, just like Timothy was confident in his convictions of Jesus and how the Christians should be living in first century Ephesus, which was contrary to what was happening in the community at the time. But do it with love. Hold your convictions in Jesus, but do it in love. So I wonder if there's something for you tonight, something that the Spirit is bringing to mind. I'd just like to give you a moment's silence. I'll just ask the Holy Spirit to bring something to mind, and then I'll pray to close and invite Darren back up. So Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come, and I ask that you search our hearts and reveal anything that's relevant to us. Lord, and anything that you want to teach us, that you want to show us about being humble, about the way that we treat others, about the way that we respond to others, whether it's a general bit of our character, or whether there's a specific scenario right now where we need to show a bit more humility. So Holy Spirit, come reveal that to us. Lord, thank you that you meet with us. And I just pray for each person here, myself included, that the thing that you've brought to mind, you will help us, you'll encourage us. And Lord, we will bring that to you. We'll surrender to you. And Lord, we won't be motivated by trying to be right, to feel good, to be in control. But Lord, we'll be motivated by showing love. We'll be motivated by your kingdom purposes and bearing kingdom fruit. So thank you, Lord, that you'll help us do that. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.